Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Food, Wine, and Travel Show, where we go across country and travel the world with members of the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. Let's go. Welcome, everybody. Today, we are going to the beautiful country of South Africa. When Nance and I lived there, they had a slogan that was, South Africa is a world in one country. And we're going to find out about that today. We've got Bernie van der Linde here on the show. Her and her travel buddy, right, know all about South Africa. She's a travel writer, but also has a company that helps people go to South Africa. And I think now, you know, is a really good time to learn more. I think a lot of times people are nervous about going to Africa, the continent, South Africa, and she's here to tell us what we can still experience over there, because there's a lot. Like when I say still, like this country is like no other country. Welcome, Bernie. How are you?
I'm very well, and you?
I almost said Hukhanet. I don't know. Yeah. It's like by the time we're done with this, I'm going to be saying yeah, right? You know that's going to happen.
Yeah, that happens.
It happens, yeah. Oh my gosh, I don't even know how to speak anymore. I'm going to go Afrikaans in any second, though I can't even remember how to speak Afrikaans. But yeah, you know, I think this is very important for people to understand about South Africa. Would you still say that slogan, a world in one country, that it is? I mean, you can go to the mountains, you could see, I mean, we've seen ostrich on the beach, we've seen, you know, penguins, we've seen, I mean, I'm going in the nature thing, but the history, the cultures, the food. Send me some food, Bernie. Come on.
Well, we have everything. And I think that is why we say the world in one country, because where can you find a country where it's so diverse, where you have fynbos, where you have oceans, you have mountains, you have
the tip of Africa.
Five-star cities, you know, that's mm-hmm. modern cities, like Cape Town is a beautiful modern city. Johannesburg is a beautiful modern city. So there is so much to experience in South Africa. We've got the most amazing hiking trails.
You've got Table Mountain in Cape Town when you can get to the top. And then there's 2 points where there's the Vasco da Gama area where he landed, which is like the Cape Point. And then there's the Cape Point where the two oceans meet. So there's a geographical and then there's the explorer version of where the Cape Point is, right? For people.
Yes. Yeah. We went there, Sean and my husband and I went there, I think last year, and we discovered that whole Cape Point area, and now you can drive and there's a funicular taking you actually up to the mountain to the, it's almost like a lighthouse, but not completely mm-hmm. lighthouse, right at the top. And the views from there are just amazing and totally spectacular. And apparently now we saw as we were driving through, you can also camp in that area because, you know, it is a national park. It's part of the Drakensberg National Park. And they have several little small camping spots where you can set up your tent and just camp in this amazing setting. Yeah.
So Drakensberg, wow. Like I've got to go back to a map. Why did I think it was Natal? And Natal is not Natal anymore,
it is.
Right?
The Drakensberg is KwaZulu-Natal. That is where the Drakensberg is. And amazing hiking routes again there. And there we have snow. So we're very excited in South Africa. We drive through the Drakensberg because we want to show our kids snow. That's the closest we actually get to snow.
Well, you've had some interesting weather just like the rest of the world over the last few years, right? Mm-hmm. It's been interesting for you guys. But that's something for us to understand too. Here in America, when we're going through really big snow, and Nancy and I have experienced the big snow of America, and I don't want to do it again. It's like, it's real. It's really real. When people call people snowbirds from the Midwest and they go to the southern part of this country, I'm just going to say, go to South Africa, because you're in the summertime, right? When we're experiencing these big winters, it's time to go to South Africa. You can go to the beach. I remember spending Christmas Day on the beach. So tell everybody, you've got a wonderful article of 10 experiences that is linked from the show notes, everyone. It's up on nationalparktraveling.com, but as well on our site. But the beaches in South Africa are so different where you go. Like it's, that's, I think, something people should understand how beautiful they are.
I think what I just wanted to add on to what you said about the weather, I think that is the biggest attraction of South Africa is our amazing weather. Even in winter, Pietra and I are always, I'm always teasing her because I say that I have sunny weather for 2 weeks in Germany. And in South Africa, when she says, it's, she says to me, it's a nice, lovely day. And then she tells me it's 12 degrees. And I'm like, oh, that is the coldest of our winter. If you get 12 degrees, yes. I'm freezing. And for them, it's a nice, it's a sunny afternoon. So, and now in Berlin, she was telling me it's -5 this week. And I'm like, Petra, at the moment, we have 35, 37 been this week. We've had scorches of weather. So I think that is the biggest attraction for South Africa is that our weather is just unbelievable. And when you have your worst and Europe, when it's very cold in February, it's our best time. January and February, if you want to come to South Africa, that's the time to come and visit.
Ooh. So, South, I mean, I think you should go any time of year because it's just, we love South Africa, you know. And
especially
I want to
game lodges.
Yeah. Game lodges. I was going to ask about that because, you know, everything was Kruger National Park when we were there. We did the Kalahari as well. And a lot of there's a lot of different parks to visit and experience. But I see this rise in private game lodges. Is that where it's kind of going to? Is and that they're kind of part of conservation? Are there more private lodges over the last 20 years, do you think, or no?
Yes, there's a lot of private lodges. They're buying up a lot of private land to make it bigger. For example, in the Polansberg, it was a very small game reserve, but they've been buying farms in that area. And the same is happening in Hoedspruit. They bought a lot of farms up in that area. Rides, I think you know more than me. I go to a lot of game lodges and I'm not aware of any problems there. What I can tell you about the Kruger, I go to Kruger at least 2-3 times a year because it's very close from Johannesburg. It's about a 6-hour drive. And they have spent so much money there because since COVID, people were really complaining about the accommodation wasn't that great and. But they have spent a tremendous amount of money on the accommodation, the beddings, the inside. It's beautiful. They redesigned some of the, you know, you imagine these small little rondavels. They've actually made it now more square huts. And it is, I cannot explain to you how beautiful it is. There is so many private lodges now in the Kruger National Park. I think there's about 12 of them. Super expensive if you want to go private, but so worth it. But
is Sabi, you know, was it Sabi Sands? Something.
Yes,
Sabi
that's
Sands.
Right next to West Kukuza is the main gate where you enter.
Oh,
that's
wow.
A Sabi Sands, a Mala Mala. But in Kruger, you can still go on holiday for very realistic prices. If I'm talking about a chalet per night, would cost you probably about R1,000. So that's
still economical. Like I remember Polanesburg when it became a national park. I remember that. And I think it was a casino attached to it. There was
Sun City Casino.
Sun City. Yeah. Oh, I did it. Yeah. It's there. It's back.
It's there.
I'm gonna be off the console then. It is. I'm gonna be there. How did you and your friend create this company? Tell us a little bit of backstory of what you do. No, you're a travel writer, and I really am starting to go South African. It's happening. it's happening.
That is really a very interesting story. I met Pietra 9 years ago. My sons, like I've explained to you before the show, is that they are professional racing drivers. And Pietra's husband was running one of the teams where my son, the whole series, he was the head of this. I think it was something Audi Scirocco Cup or something. Can't remember. They've been racing so many things at the moment. Yes. And so it was about a year or 2 years where it was just always the manager's wife. And I thought, she doesn't speak English. How can I speak to her? I'm the only South African there speaking English. And eventually one evening there to give us a lift back to the entrance gate. And then she's like, hi, I'm Peter. I'm like, oh, cool. Oh, you speak English. And then from there, every time the boys would race, we would start speaking. And I think we knew each other about 3 months or so when we now started speaking. And then I said to her, but why don't you come to South Africa? And she's like, no, I've never had in a fantasy about going to South Africa. And then I started selling because I'm so passionate about our country. So here I invited a total stranger, that's my personality, come and see South Africa. I will be your tour guide. So Pietra came over with a friend and it was so weird. I picked her up from Owatambo Airport and I thought, what am I going to do for a week with a stranger in my car? And I have to show her now the Kruger National Park. I
and
promised
her
this.
friend.
Yeah. And wow. And her friend.
See, this is why Travel Buddies is a good name.
Yeah, was from Switzerland, Lou. And yeah, so I picked them all up. And it was 6 hours from Joburg Airport to Kruger. And we just hit it off like a house on fire.
So
because
Kruger
she
was the
traveling.
thing.
And because she could tell me a lot about Germany and I could tell her so much about South Africa. And as a little girl, I always imagined living in Germany and I was so fascinated with it. So it was so strange that these two strangers are meeting and she's got a fascination with my country and I have one with her. So then about 4 years ago, we visited my parents in Langebaan, and that's on the west coast of South Africa. It's a very small little town, but stunning. We have an article about Langebaan. Go and read about it. And the first night we got there, we waited for my brother to come and pick us up, to take us and show us a little bit around Langebaan. And she says, oh, you know what, Bernie? I have an Instagram page, which I started with my sister. She says, but we can kick her out and then you and I can take it over because it's called Travel Buddies.
You're
And she
gonna
says,
kick
and
her
then
out.
it will just be us two. And I said, yeah, let's this whole week when we're touring now, let's just put everything out there. And I tell you not, within the first 2 weeks that we started putting up our adventures, we hit 5,000 followers within 2 hours. We thought, oh, whoa, somebody's interested in what we are showcasing. Maybe we should showcase more. But by that time, we've been traveling so much. I mean, we've been to Japan, and obviously because of the racing. So we went to Taiwan. So wherever the boys are racing, we say, oh, let's go make a holiday and stay on a few days after the race. And then 2 years ago, I was in Mauritius and I was phoning Pietra and because that's our favorite place. I've been there more than 10 times, also standing articles about Mauritius. And then she says, oh, Bernie, you know, when you tell me something, it's just so fascinating. I wish we had a blog so that you can write things down because I'm an academic. I'm a principal of a private higher education institution.
Oh, wow.
So I do marketing, or I teach marketing, business management, HR, all those amazing subjects. So I am a writer, very serious writer, more academic.
And you could
And
end
then
up in the principal's office at any time.
And then I said to her, okay, so, and then I said, good idea. When I come back, we are going to have a blog and I'm going to ask my IT guys from the college to set us up a blog. And I'm going to start writing for you. And that was our first articles. And then these articles got such a huge reach. And people started reading our articles and started subscribing to us. And we're like, oh, whoa, people are really interested. And I think what makes it this dynamic duo is that I write the articles in English. Or if Petra can write, she writes in English quite good. And then she would translate all the articles in German. So we've got South Africans that's really interested in Germany. And then we have the German following that love everything about South Africa. And also Pieter tells it from her perspective. You know,
I think,
you know, when you live in a country, you oversee things.
Yeah, but there's something beautiful also where you're two women traveling South Africa, where I think a lot of people are nervous about going to Africa. It's like, oh, the big continent of Africa. And I'm always telling people, just go. It's when you go there, you'll find, yes, there's crime just like in every city in America. I mean, this country needs to get over itself on what is going on here. We have issues. Every country has issues and we've traveled a lot and there's issues, right? But South Africa, everyone has a smile. There's a resilience. There's a kindness. There's, you know, when I was growing up in South Africa, it was a village that raised you, you know, not just your parents. Like, I couldn't get away with anything, Bernie. Nothing. Nothing, you know. And I tried
I love
really
the way
hard.
You explain South Africa. That's so beautiful. I actually
That
get
what, that,
goosebumps
that
when
was
you
a
say.
childhood, I couldn't get away with anything. But that's true because everybody... It was a family. It was a big family. And then coming over here, it's been a And I'm not knocking America. It's my birth country, you
Yeah.
know, and I love America, but we're so split up and divided up and different. And South Africa, even when I talk to my friends, see, now I'm going back to South Africa. I get that feeling again of, wow, you have a family. You know,
You know,
there's a family
when you
feeling.
said resilient, that for me hits so deep because we are, as South Africans, we're extremely resilient. No matter what's going on, we rise above all the challenges that face us and we stand together despite what the press is telling you out there. The different cultures get along. We learn from each other. For me, the best day is Heritage Day because then we learn about different people's cultures. And in this diverse country with 11 languages, imagine 11 official languages. How can you get bored in a country like that? And we learn
No.
about each other's food. I mean, the food is so
Are
diverse
you
from
kidding?
the
Okay,
Zulu
okay.
person.
Let's talk about food. Okay, because this is the South Africa's food. It's got a little bit of English, it's got a little bit of German in there. Then you get into the different African cultures. You've got, I remember Putu, was it Putu or Ugali? Ugali is Kenyan. Putu, like, and you can still just have Putu for breakfast. Like,
It's maize meal. It's a kind of maize meal that we
mealie
have. We
meal,
call it
mealie meal, mealie
mealie
pop.
pap.
Oh, pap
Yeah,
en wors.
mealie pap. Pap and sauce, pap and wors.
Oh,
And
train
yeah,
smash.
I think that's what people love about South Africa. You come here and you eat food that you've never seen anywhere else. And I think while the Germans have such a fascination with it, Pietra and I, when we talk, she sometimes doesn't understand me when I speak English. So I have to say something in Afrikaans to her, and you cannot believe how close these languages are.
Yeah, I do, because I failed both of them because I took German and Afrikaans in school, and they were so close that I was messing up everything. You know, I didn't have, you know, and everybody kept saying, "Oh, you're an immigrant, you don't have to learn anything." And then when I went to graduate high school, they were like, "You need to be able to pass Afrikaans," and I'm like, "Uh-oh, I'm in big doo-doo," and I did. I was okay on it, but the two languages really are. I have friends in Holland that I can speak Afrikaans to, and they understand, you know?
It is. And if I don't understand it, then I say to her, just tell me in German, what's the word? Because she's trying to think of a word to tell me. And I say, just tell me what is the German word? And 90 times out of 10, you know, it's just so perfect that I say, oh, it's that word because the words is so close.
Ah.
Yeah. So South Africa is just, for me, South Africa is home. It's my birth country. I love it. And I love it because of the diversity in people and places and things.
I love that
When
you
you
say
go
that
to
because
Kruger and Cape Town, sorry, it's worlds apart. You feel like you're in a new country from just even from Joburg to Cape
see, a
Town.
world in one country. When we got to this country, people looked at me and they were like, "Oh, you're white." So they automatically thought that we were anti-black people. That was the immediate thing. I mean, this is years ago, over 30 years. Oh my gosh, yes, I'm not 30 anymore. And I had to explain to people, you won't understand until you go there. You can have friends of all cultures, and not all of them will get along, you know, at that same moment. But they did. And high school changed. I mean, I'm looking at my friends' kids, and it's mixed colors, it's mixed races. There's, you know, if they have a braai, a lekker braai,
Like a
a good
braai.
barbecue, everyone. There's everybody. You know, that's, I think, with South Africa, when you had a braai, a barbecue, the family comes. Everybody from 1 years old to 90 to 100 will be at this event. And it's a way of all ages getting to know each other. And so there, and now all cultures. And so there is a respect that happens that we tend to lose in today's society. I know in South Africa, you have the same problem with us all on our little phones going here, you know. But when you have a braai, people come together. There's something with that.
There is, even though we're so different with our cultures, there's a shared experience with everything because I think the majority of people in South Africa have got such amazing love for it. And you were talking about the safety in South Africa. And yes, just like every other city in the world, if you go to Barcelona, in Italy, wherever you go, if you go to Munich, you have to be street smart, you know, and that is the thing with South Africans. We're two women, we on the other side, when still the bottom side of, well, we're in 50s, let's put it that way. And we can travel. We travel without our husbands. I've never experienced in South Africa a time where I felt a little bit unsure or scared or whatever. You know, there's some street smarts things I wouldn't go and walk now in Johannesburg at night. I wouldn't walk maybe even on fourways at night on the road.
Would you do that in New York City?
There are
no.
some limitations that we
there's
have to
limitations everywhere. You know, there's limitations everywhere in any place that you go. But Africa, you could break down on the side of the road, break down in your rental car, or your car, and someone's going to help you. They're going to help you. Here, I don't know. Yeah, people do. It's just a different culture, and people are genuinely happy to help. You know, there's just a genuine pleasure of connecting and smiling at each other and helping each other. It's a wonderful, it's a friendly place. South Africa is friendly.
I just want to tell you another example. Like, Pietro's always saying to me, why do you always ask, and how are you? She says, Germans never ask how are
you. Well, you said
it's because we're not interested in how
are
you.
When we first clicked up on Zoom, you said, are you well? And I wanted to say, what? I didn't go to the, do I look, what? You know, but that's in South Africa. It's like,
that's
are
a
you
South
well?
African thing. We walk into a shop. Yeah. We've just bought a house now in Cape Town. And wherever we go and just to the petrol station or the shop, they want to ask, how are you? How's your day been? And you want to go,
how are you feeling? How are you feeling?
Oh,
and it's like, are you well? Are you well?
I'm tired. Shame. How long is your day? What did you do? Where do you work? What kind of work do you do? That's South Africans. And with Germans, that's very protective. You don't ask somebody the telephone number. Peter's like, why do you always want to ask in South Africa? You always ask my telephone number. Every form I fill in, you want my telephone number. Why do you ask how I am? I said, but that is a South African thing.
It's a
how
caring.
Are you?
And picking up the phone. Oh, that's interesting. Because now it's like, if I don't know the number on my phone, I'm not answering it.
Really?
That's how it, yeah. So in South Africa, it's still there. It's still that pick up the phone and call somebody.
They phone you. And we've got now machines that phone you. And then it's hi. And then you're like, oh, that's
no, then click. No, we have that. We have too much of that. We have the machines, and then we have people we don't understand. And no, it's so we don't answer the phone unless it's someone that's on our Rolodex, basically.
But in Germany, if somebody's phoning you, it's either a friend or it's a relative.
Right.
Because are not allowed to contact you for services. And like I said, South Africa, we are an entrepreneurial country. So
oh,
we phone
very
people.
Much so.
Don't you want to clean your carpets?
I remember
have carpets.
In high school, I think I was a standard five or six, standard six, the free market system. And I went, oh, wow, this is amazing. And the accent I could do, it's the free market system. And that's what I learned. And I learned about entrepreneurship. And, you know, my best friend and I, we wanted out of high school so bad because of having this entrepreneurial spirit, because it was taught. Oh my gosh, I can't speak anymore. It was taught to me. Oh my gosh, I cannot speak American anymore. It's out the window. Oh wow, this is a good interview. Let's just keep going. And I can't speak, but it was taught to be entrepreneurial. And in this country, we have that, but it's different. It's just different. But this country, America, is very entrepreneurial, but it wasn't necessarily taught in school. In school, it was part of the country. No matter what race, didn't matter what gender, being entrepreneurial was it's in our blood. It's part of who we are as a country, you know, and you respected others being entrepreneurial. Like if somebody's trying to sell you something or called you, this is hysterical, would call you up. You gave them that moment to be their entrepreneurial self and you respected that. Mm. You know, here it's kind of, oh, they're trying to sell you something. Well, yeah, that the world doesn't go around without a sale being made, you know?
they will find anywhere. And that would be strange for people coming from another country. When you're stopping at our robots, I think you say traffic lights,
Traffic
at our
lights.
robots,
Yeah.
there's people selling stuff to you. You can buy anything from sunglasses to flowers to anything you can find in the superstore. You can find anything on the side of the road. And then where there's normally a building site, there's a lady that wants to, care for her children. So she would be baking on the side of the road. She's got a little wood burn fire and she makes fet cooks and
Oh, fet
interesting
cooks. Tell
food.
everybody about fet cooks. Oh, I haven't thought about fet
You don't
cooks.
have fet cook?
No, tell everybody the
Okay, so
juicy
it's a
goodness of a
bread
fet cook.
dough. So you can
It's
go to any of
new.
our Checkers, Woolworths, Spar, whatever you want to call the superstore, and you buy bread dough. They sell the bread dough that's ready to bake your bread, but then you take that and you fry it in oil. And then you make that
Fantastic.
with either sweet or savory, and you put a mince in it, a nice savory mince,
Mince,
and
everybody,
fet cook
is
and
more like a
mince.
mince meat. It's mince meat.
Yes, fet cook and
Like,
mince.
so here, like in England, mince is like mince pie, right? For you'd have that in
Oh,
Christmas time. So there's different mints.
no,
So mince
not the
over
sweet
here,
mince. Yeah.
no, here they call it ground beef. And
Yes, so that would be the ground beef that we call mince.
then also there's a lot of lamb happening in South Africa versus beef.
The best lamb, because our lamb is
Oh.
Karoo lamb, and nobody
Oh.
else is allowed to call it Karoo lamb. So yes, we do
Oh.
have. And once again, there's so much diversity between Petra and myself, also with our page, because when she comes to South Africa, she wants to eat lamb. Because lamb is super expensive in Europe. I think because it's so cold there and they need warmer temperatures. So your lamb is also when my boys come home, they're like, Mom, we just want a lamb choppy.
Shepherd's pie is like part of a normal dish, you know? And
Yeah.
lamb is like here, it's a special thing too. You know, you don't have lamb and lamb chops. People eat lamb, but it's not like a main course that you would have all the time normally, you know? It's
Yeah.
chicken, turkey, maybe. And I don't remember turkey in South Africa very
No,
much.
turkey is not at all big. That normally they say turkey for Christmas. We don't really do Christmas turkey. We do a braai and we would have chops and wors and nice
Boerewors.
vegetables and boerewors. Boerewors is just yum. But that freaks Europeans also or any people from any, I don't know if the States has boerewors. But that normally freaks them out because they're like, what
Boerewors
is
is like
this?
it's a fatty sausage and it comes out in
With
this big
mince in
cycle.
it. Once again, the
Yeah.
mince. It's made of mince that they put into this.
And it's a lot of fat, as I remember, a lot of fat.
Yes.
And on the barbecue, which is the braai, normally it's cooked with beer.
Yes,
Yeah.
you're super right. That is true. Yeah.
And
Is
what
it a
about
lovely?
poikikos?
Oh,
Poikikos.
poikikos. Oh, I have a friend, my work buddy, best friend, and he makes the best poikikos. Because if you ever want to come to South Africa, you have to come and camp. Despite what they're telling you, it's not safe. The places where you can camp is like nowhere else in this world. We have game lodges. There's in the Kruger Park, there's a camp called Tsensi. And in Tsensi, there's no electricity. It is so rugged, but you're in the Kruger and there's no fences around.
It's
So
awesome.
you camp and you make your poikikos and you put all the vegetables and meats and I know that Jaco always tells me there's layers that's got to go into this
Yeah.
poikikos. So and you eat that either with pap and rice. So but yeah. So also in Natal we have so many of the camping spots that's on the ocean's edge. So you camp right. You hear the sound of the first night when you sleep. You're like, I have to close your ears because that wave is so loud. Amazing camping opportunities in South Africa.
I remember you went out. Are you having
Yes,
what do
I'm
you call
here, and this is load shedding, a
it?
lovely thing
I was
about
gonna
South
ask you,
Africa,
I
but
was
our
you're load
generator will
shedding.
go on.
You're load
So,
shedding. Well,
yeah,
no,
that
this is
is.
some let's use this as an educational opportunity. Load shedding happens in South Africa. We've got a lot of friends who are in music and they go, okay. Come on, we're gonna link up on Facebook or YouTube or wherever and do a concert, and then they can't because of load shedding. And so
Yeah.
this could happen as you, it's that quick. That's it.
No, now we're on the generator. So every single company,
Ah.
I don't have a place that don't have it. Even at home, I have backup
Everyone has a
generators with
generator
solar
now.
panels.
Oh.
So, and yeah, so we, the that is unfortunate, the thing about South Africa. We have a lot of load shedding at the moment.
Load shedding is basically when we call it a blackout here. Like it's basically the electricity company shuts down for a few minutes so that, or longer, so that they can
We
gain traction, right?
call
It's
it giving turns. So it's turn electricity. So
nice,
you
very
get a
nice.
turn, and then I get a turn, and then another suburb gets a turn. So we all
But this
get
can happen when
turns
you
throughout.
travel and you don't know. Suddenly the hotel goes dark. But then, like you said, you have a generator that came on. So this is perfect. I know it's not perfect, but it's the reality.
We
And
have an app. Have you ever thought we have an app on our phone? It's on the Apple Store. And you have an app, so if you go to Cape Town, so that you know if you want to cook something, because normally the ovens and things like that aren't connected to your solar heating. So then I say, oh, let's just see quickly when is load shedding in this area. Or you cannot go to that restaurant because they won't be able to make you coffee because the coffee machines aren't working. So load shedding is very challenging, especially during traffic hours, because then our robots aren't working.
but okay, but you didn't go off the internet. That is pretty amazing. Like you went down, but you stayed on the internet. Now I'm used to like it's all going down and then you have to wait for the internet to wake up again, you know? So
No,
that's a no,
everything is
you were.
geared to switch over quick, quick, quick. And sometimes I don't know unless I listen for the generator. And I'm thinking, are we now on Eskom power or are we now on the
Eskom
generator?
is still there. Eskom.
Yes,
Wow.
that's our biggest problem.
This is, you know, to me, it's that's where travel becomes real and you understand how people live. And if it's perfect and you go on the perfect, nothing happens, negative or whatever, you haven't, you know, if you go on a road trip and nothing, you know, no bump in the road, it's boring. It's boring. You know,
You
we've
know
had to
what?
change tires in Kruger Park and gone around the corner, and there's a lion pride, you know, pride of lions there. And you feel this like, wow, we were like so close to the lions, you know. And I wanna bring up Kruger and going, I remember in the north part, that's where we would see the elephant in the north part of Kruger. And you'd go, it was almost to the border, I think, where we were at times. And it is beautiful. The birds, South Africa's wildlife is incredible. Like we were talking before the we recorded going up the garden route, and that's where you see all the sugar birds and through the fynbos, which is, you know, no other country has the fynbos. Proteas here, we pay huge amounts of money for protea flowers, which is your national flower. And they have them in Hawaii, but South Africa has fields of them. And going in, you talked about the Karoo Desert. You could go at the right time of year and see the wildflowers bloom in the desert, same as the Kalahari, Namaqualand. Oh my gosh, I have beautiful memories of Namaqualand, just wildflowers like everywhere. So that can you can time your visit for these amazing natural things that happened, you know?
You know, and you were mentioning now the Kruger. People are always asking us, can we do a trip in a day from the south to the north? And I'm like, no, I don't think you have any idea how big it is. There's no ways you can drive from the south to the north. And there's a very big difference between the south and the north in terms of vegetation. The north is, if you have smaller children, I wouldn't recommend going to the north. Malaria is quite
Yeah,
prevalent
yeah.
there. We hardly go to the north, and you see a lot of predators to the north. I hear you say elephants, but actually it's more in the south. There's a
Oh.
very high concentration of elephants and any animals in the south. So people
Huh.
prefer south. If you want to get away from the crowds, the north is very good. The camps are getting much smaller. It's the authentic Kruger is in the north.
Yeah.
But for families, I would definitely recommend staying in the south. There is malaria, but over the years, I've never taken any malaria
We
medication. You just need your
took malaria.
sprays and you'll be
We took
okay.
malaria pills. They taste awful. They're
They do, and they
horrible.
give you severe headaches and night terrors and all of that. So I would go with a little spray, and it is 100% safe. And when you actually go to Kruger, it's so amazing. You can do your own road trip, but you start in the south and you move your way up. Every night a different camp. And camps are about 45, each camp is 45 kilometers apart.
Perfect.
But remember, you can only drive 50 kilometers on a tar road and 40 kilometers on a gravel road. So even though it says 45 between camps, you have to give yourself about an hour and a half to 2 hours from one camp to the other. Can you imagine such a small distance that you're covering? So yeah, for people that want to do that, we've got amazing game reserves. And don't just think we have Kruger. We have the Dino King Game Reserve near Johannesburg. We have Pilanswe. We have Madikwe. We have Welgevonden. There are so many game reserves that are even private, and that you can have the most exclusive experience at a fraction of the price that you would pay at a private game reserve, like you mentioned, Mala Mala, Sabi Sabi, and Kruger Park itself, all those private camps. So people just don't know about it, but you get exactly the same experience. It is 5-star lodges, game vehicles, morning game drives, afternoon game drives, exactly beautiful.
And glamping, glamping too. Here we call it glamping.
Yeah.
Where you're glamping in these luxury tents and you're right there. And I remember also being in lodges where you are, you have a cocktail and watch hippos in a river.
Yeah.
The hippo.
It's not fenced at all. There's a new camp now that just opened up in the Kruger. It's called Nkulu. And it was at the point where it was a picnic spot, open picnic. So that's completely opened. And then they just put right on the water's edge, on the river end. There's about 8 or 10, but beautiful log cabins, but exquisite. So I was wondering, I asked the lady, I said, but now if you want to walk out at night, what do they do? No, then you have to ring from inside your room and you have to tell the guard that you want to go out, but you're actually not allowed to go out of your little, let's call it a cabin at night, because you're in the wild. Where on earth are you surrounded by elephants? You hear them chowing on the branches when you're sleeping. The stars, because there's no...
I miss hearing hyenas at night. The hyenas.
Yes.
That's what I miss, the hyenas. Yeah. That's something I could go to sleep to, like beautiful music to me. And people look at me like I'm weird, but I don't care. But hearing hyenas, I remember when we were up in the Kalahari National Park, Kalahari, it actually snowed when we were there. Wow. But it's not like a real snow. It was like thick frost. Yep. And we saw a cheetah and we saw a lion. We saw ostrich in the snow. In the Kalahari Desert, it was cold, and because we thought, oh, the desert's warm, and we went to Kimberley the same trip and saw the Groot Gat. The Groot Gat,
yes.
Is that still that's still there?
It's never still there, and there's a train going there through Mikey's Fontein, a little train that takes you there and it takes you on a tour. And we were talking earlier about the Robus Rail and the Blue Train.
The Blue Train
actually stop
right.
in Mikey's Fontein. By the Groot Gat, where you were talking now. And then the guests can get off and they can do a little bit of a tour of that area.
The Groot Gat, everybody, is a huge mine. I want to explain to people, it means a big hole. A gat is a hole. The Groot Gat, I remember. And I remember even in school, that was the thing to me. We traveled South Africa for about 2 years when I was a kid. And we went everywhere, Umhlanga Rocks, I mean, everything. And when you go to these places, you understand the history of South Africa more when you travel it. Don't read it just in a book. Go and experience it, And
you
if you do read it in a book, read Wilbur Smith.
Oh, yes, we mentioned Umhlanga. Now, that again,
is amazing.
A new world, because Natal, there's a very big concentration of our Indian population living in
right.
Natal.
Durban,
so you have the most amazing curries, and it is the authentic Indian curries, and you can have that at that Oyster Box Hotel. It's just to die for. It's
I want a curry bunny.
Curries.
The curry
bunny.
Yes,
about it, a chow bunny or what? A bunny
chow.
Yeah,
bunny chow.
Bunny chow.
That's it, bunny chow. I remember eating that in Jeffrey's Bay, one of the top surfing spots in the world,
yes.
And getting that, surfer food. Okay. All right, I'm homesick. Thank you. I'm hungry. I want to go see animals. I want to go to the beach because the beach is like Cape Town, like we said at the beginning, to what is happening in Natal are different. And I remember Durban like having this amazing Indian market where you could go buy the clothes and
The materials, oh, that is, yeah. But
oh.
if the listeners today want to read more about South Africa, we've got about 60 articles about South Africa, different areas in South Africa. We're
Tell
also on
everybody your website
Instagram.
so they know.
Yes, so it's www.travelbuddieslifestyle.com, travelbuddieslifestyle.com. And we're very active on Instagram, travelbuddies_lifestyle. And there you can just send us a DM, ask us questions. We get DMs daily of people saying, I want to go to this area. Is it safe? We're very honest when you send us a DM and we will tell you, yes, that area is fine. You can drive during the day. Don't drive during the night. Ask us anything about South Africa. We don't have a tour. We're not tour operators. We don't offer tours, but we have amazing connections with our hotels and they provide amazing specials for our followers. So go and check out that website. There is so many articles. You would be homesick all over again if you read our articles.
It's dangerous. And everyone, we've got your article about the 10 must-dos in South Africa, and it
Yes.
does have milk tart in there, which everybody needs to have a good milk tart. And Cook Sisters, listen, I'm hungry. This is a dangerous conversation. And if we ever, like we said, if we ever went back to South Africa, they're going to have to physically remove us because it is one of the most beautiful countries. The people are amazing. The food's amazing. The nature is amazing. The beaches are amazing. The history is incredible. So, I mean, what more do you want?
And book at least 2 weeks, because if you read the article, you
Oh,
see those 10 must-do things, your golfing, your oceans, and
golf. We forgot
getting
about
close with
golf.
nature. How amazing is it? Where on earth can you get? You walk in a street in a town like Phalaborwa, and you see a hippo walking in the street. So you need to experience different areas. Natal is different from Johannesburg. Johannesburg is totally different from Cape Town. And then you
And
have the
different than
Drakensberg
Pretoria.
again. Yeah.
Joburg is different than Pretoria. In Pretoria, you
Absolutely.
can go to a museum and you can see a mummy's toe in the museum. Sorry, but that's like one of my favorite things is seeing that mummy in that museum and you could see the mummy's toe. And I've never gotten over that. It is amazing. So much history. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Oh, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me. It was really an honor to just share my love for South Africa with your listeners.
Buy a hoot and buy a donkey and
Bye, donkey,
tootsies.
for you.
Yeah. And I'm gonna go walking around going hoot all day.
And when you
Yeah.
walk up to somebody, you have to ask them, how are you? And so that you can get the
Hundred.
shocked reaction.
How are you? How are you feeling?
Yes.
How you
Are you
see?
well?
Are you well?
So,
This
I mean,
South
yeah.
Africa invented bedside mannerisms.
I love it.
So anybody who wants to be a doctor should go to South Africa first. Buy a donkey.
Thanks, Lisa. What a pleasure. Keep well, eh? Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio's Food, Wine, and Travel show featuring members of the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. We encourage you to visit their website. We say IFTWA, which is IFWTWA.org. You can also follow us at bigblendradio.com. Happy travels, everyone!